that come up in Parshas Vayetze, from the beginning of the Parsha, which is not my style generally. I like to try to get a little bit deeper into it, but there are two points that come up, both cited by Rashi, at the very beginning of the Parsha. We know the Parsha begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheva Vayela Charana. So Rashi presents the question, why did it have to say that Yaakov left Beersheva and he went to Charan? And Rashi says, it teaches us that a tzaddik makes a roshem, that a tzaddik makes an impression and has an impact on the place where he is. And once a tzaddik leaves a place, there are three dimensions that are lost. As long as a tzaddik is a place, they sort of generate three dimensions. And those are hu hoda. Hod is a very difficult word to translate, but it comes up in the Chumash when Moshe Rabbeinu is transferring his rabbinic authority to Yehoshua ben Nun. The pasuk says, "V'nasata mehodcha alav," that you should take your hod and place it upon him. And I think it has to do with spiritual glory. So once a tzaddik leaves a place, pana hoda, that the place loses its spiritual glory. So panahoda, hu ziva, ziv literally means the splendor. It's associated with light, with illumination. So once a tzaddik leaves, pana ziva, and then third and finally, hu hoda, hu ziva, hu hadra. Hadra is a little easier to define. Again, the pasuk says, "Mide seva takum." Vehadarta pnei zaken, so vehadarta means again to show honor. He is the honor of that place. And I wanted to speak about this concept that a tzaddik represents different things to a place and provides different things. And I wanted to do it in light of a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah tells us that we're supposed to cleave to Hashem, uvosid bakun. And the Gemara and the Medrash ask in multiple places, how is it possible for a person to cleave to Hashem? V'chiyef shel adam lidvuke b'shchina. Could a person really aspire, this is the Gemara in the Masechta Ksuvos, to cleave to Hashem? After all, you know, Hashem elkecha eish ochlahu. God is a consuming fire. So again, the Medrash Halacha and the Talmud Bavli both give a similar answer. Says Ella hidavek b'tamidei chachamim, that if we want to cleave to God, we can cleave to God's ambassadors, those who, in their actions and in their knowledge, and in their character traits, they represent God on this earth. Just 1 second, Avram. I just want to establish a few points. So, the idea is that Hashem somehow is, of course, the one that we should aspire to develop a direct relationship with. But sometimes having a relationship with a person who themselves has spent a great deal of time cultivating a relationship with God can be a catalyst for us. Again, the goal is not to just develop a relationship with that person per se. That can be valuable. Gadol shimusha yoser milimuda. Having that closeness is certainly very important. But even more important than that is cultivating, of course, a relationship with Hashem. But it is true that the relationship with Hashem can be cultivated through cultivating a relationship with these individuals. The Gemara in Pesachim famously quotes, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim. Shimon HaMsoni was unwilling to make that drasha. Es is L'Rabos, it's an inclusion. But Rabbi Akiva went ahead and he says, L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim, that they are like an extension of Hashem in this world. But what I want to try to do is a little bit more ambitious in the next few minutes, is to talk about these three characteristics. Again, Hoda, Ziva, and Hadra. I think that they represent three different ideas about what a tzaddik might really mean to a particular place. Let's start and go in order. The term Hoda, again, getting back to this image of V'nasata mehodcha alav, that Moshe was supposed to transfer his spiritual glory, the karnei hod, that Moshe came down with from Har Sinai. So that has to do, as we said, with a certain aura, maybe even a charisma that a great person has. That there's something that can be elevating simply by being around such a person, that they have an intrinsic hode to them, a certain glory. And then that becomes hu hoda, that becomes something that everybody in that locality can take great pride in. And we all know it when we see it, but to be around a person of such standing is itself, you know, very elevating, and a source of true pride and glory, you know, for the town. You know, it's really interesting in Europe when there was, the great rabbinic figures, they were always referred to by the town, the Brisker Rav, the Kovner Rav. It was something that the Dvinsker, right, Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, the Or Sameach. It was something the entire town, right, obviously took enormous amount of pride in. So the hod, again, I think relates to an intrinsic capacity or intrinsic quality, I should say, that a person has who reaches a certain level of spirituality. And that's something that people can be proud of, but it doesn't necessarily directly impact them. Okay, that's number one. What about Ziv? So there's a Maimar Chazal that comes to mind about the Olam Haba, about the world to come, which says that the tzaddikim will be there, nehenin miziv hashchina, okay? And that they will be, you know, somehow enjoying God's illumination. So when we talk about hu ziva, I think this is a little bit different than hod. Hod, I think, is an intrinsic characteristic. But ziv is the way that a very righteous or scholarly person can really illuminate everything around them and provide a sense of spiritual illumination. Nehenim miziv hashchina. That they simply radiate out a very kind of a spiritual dimension to them. And if what we said before is correct, in light of the mitzvah of Hidavek b'talmidei chachamim, of cleaving to Hashem through the talmidei chachamim, so I would say the same thing here. You know, in this world, we can't directly access the ziv hashchina. That's reserved for the next world. Tzadikim yoshvin, v'yatroseyen b'rosheyen, nehenin miziv hashchina. But when we can, through the talmidei chachamim, experience a little bit of what that might be like. Hu ziva. They provide a certain kind of illumination, and hopefully that does translate to our own lives. It gives us not just a sense of hana'a, nehen in miziv hashchina, but perhaps a sense of direction as well. Being around a person who's, you know, a really, and again, they are very rare, a truly great person can itself ennoble us. It can help us be better, more directed people. And finally, hu hadra. Right, that they are the glory of the city. You know, there are some cities that are proud of buildings. You know, Paris, the Eiffel Tower. New York City has the Empire State Building, the George Washington Bridge. But from a halachic perspective, the hadar, the true glory of a city, is its capacity to produce people, you know, of great spiritual stature, and to have people of great spiritual stature within the city. That's really what the city ultimately, you know, should be very proud of, you know. And I think that was part of what I was describing before. You know, everybody in Brisk was extremely proud that Reb Chaim was the Rav. And everybody, in Dvinsk was very proud that Reb Meir Simcha was the Rav in that town. There was great pride that was taken to have somebody who was such a Talmud Chacham and such a Baal Chesed, hu hadra. It's what everybody should be proudest of, not just the infrastructure and the bridges and the buildings and all of that, which can be at times very impressive. And so you had this, let's say, Lower East Side. There wasn't a single Jew that lived in the Lower East Side who hadra that wasn't extremely, you know, proud, and, you know, this is the glory of that particular location, that Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, was living there, and he was Mu'uravim Abrios there. And the same thing was true of people who lived in Brookline, Massachusetts. I know this from my in-laws directly, who grew up with him, that the Rav being who he was the Hadar of Brookline, Massachusetts, that everybody looked at that and respected that and cherished that, who Hadra. So again, I don't think these are just three ways of saying the same thing, but who Hoda, once again, v'nasata me'hodcha alav, that the tzaddik has an intrinsic quality of hod, of spiritual aura, the karnei hod, and that itself is very impressive, even if people just from a distance can appreciate that. When it comes to ziv, that I think already has a more direct impact on people. Nehen in miziv hashchina, I think the ziv can be illuminating, can provide direction. Hidavik b'talmidei chachamim, it catalyzes a person's sense of relationship with the shchina itself. And then finally, hu hadra, that the true glory of the town. And when unfortunately, you know, the tzaddik leaves, then pana hoda, pana ziva, pana hadra, so all these things can be lost. And I think that is itself a very important idea, and has something to do with the capacity and the importance of spiritual leadership. Next point that I wanted to get to, just for the beginning of Vayetze, this is just the second point, was the Gemara in Masach Tachulin and Daf Tzadi Aleph notes on the next pasuk, Vayivgava makom vayalin sham kiva shemesh vaykach meyavnei makom vayasim rashusav vayishgava makom ahu. Right, very good.
Yeah.
You eventually would call that place Beit El. Excellent, Samson. So we know that Yaakov, according to the Gemara anyway, Vayivgava makom ein pigya lashon tfila hidavin marav. So the Gemara in Chulin tells an interesting story that somehow Yaakov passed the place, and then he circled back, and there's a whole discussion between Rashi and Ramban, what it means that it fits us at Rachim. Rashi seems to think that Yerushalayim sort of picked up and moved itself to Beis El. The Ramban thinks that's not what Kvitzos Hadracha means, but it means that a person is able to cover ground more quickly. But leaving that specific issue aside for the moment, there's an amazing phrase which is attributed to Yaakov Avinu in this context. And the phrase goes like this. Efshar she'avarti al makom shehispalalu bo avosai velo hispalalti sham. That Yaakov is aghast. He's horrified. Maybe he's even mortified at the possibility that he passed the place where Avram and Yitzchak davened, and that he did himself offer a tefila. So I thought this is a very fascinating comment. Afshar shavarti al makom shehispalalu bo avosai velo hispalalti. That Yaakov ascribed great significance to davening in the place where Yitzchak and Avram had davened before him. Every time we daven, we seem to appeal to a similar idea, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. That we don't really perceive of our tefilos so much as independent, but as very much building off of the tefilos of previous generations. And if that's true, then it makes a lot of sense that Yaakov would have been highly motivated to daven in the very location, the very actual geographic location where the previous generation davened. He understood himself to be building off of the tefilos of previous generations. You know, it's a powerful thing. The Jewish people have been reciting the same Shemot Esrei since the era of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, obviously with the addition of Olam Al Shinim, that the way that we daven, now that the text has been fixed, even if on the Torah level it need not have been fixed, is exactly the same way that those who came before us davened. And rather than, I think, seeing that as somehow constricting or stifling, I think there's great power in that. So much Avishai of our relationship with Hashem is continuing the work of previous generations. We're a culture that has reverence for the past. We talked about that as being one of the differentiating points between Jewish culture and Egyptian culture. Egyptian culture is defined by Vayishkachayu, V'lo Zachar Saramashkim Es Yosef Vayishkachayu, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Egyptian culture is about the destruction of the past, and Jewish culture is rife with all kinds of mitzvos of Zechira, Zachor Yom Solam, Zachor Yom HaShabbos, Zachor Eis Asher Asher Mekach LeMiriam, Zachor Eis Asher Asal Lecha Amalek. We are a people that pays great deal of attention to the past, and we sense that our relationship with Hashem is very much driven by the previous generations. For example, the entire notion of minhag, minhag avosenu biyadenu, we say that we don't simply abandon the path, you know, of our forefathers. In fact, we see it as our great honor to be able to continue along that path, and for each community to guard its minhagim, each family to guard its minhagim very zealously. We don't see ourselves as, like, you know, free agents. And I think that that is itself, like, a very important thing for us to consider. We're living in a time when, of course, there's almost no greater value than a person, you know, establishing their own set of values and, you know, self-discovery. And, you know, within reasonable grounds, there's room for that, a person to try to Ezehi derech yishara sheyavar lo avadam, sheyavar lo ha'adam, tiferes lo sev, tiferes lo min ha'adam, that we understand that Avram is not Netanel, and Netanel is not Ezra, and Netanel is not Avishai, and everybody's going to have to a certain extent, find their own path. But it's very important that it should be done so within the context of Shema b'ni Musar Avicha ve'al titosh Torah simecha, of continuing on what we inherited, what was preserved for us, often at the point of sacrifice of human life itself, but with great hardship, what was preserved for us, you know, throughout the generations. And so, Efshar Shavarti, Yaakov's horror, Al Makom Shispalu Bo Avosa, I missed an opportunity to daven in that very same location, Shammai. So that's reflective of Yaakov's sensitivity, that he sees himself very much as the son of his father and the grandson of his grandfather. And even, and I think this is the most impressive point, even as he's running away from Eretz Canaan, even as he's leaving the Eretz Ha'avos, right, he sees it as extremely important for him to daven specifically where they davened. He might be leaving geographically, but he's not dislodging himself. He's not extracting himself from their Masorah, from their tradition. On the contrary, right, all the more important to go out by way of davening in the name and in the place of those who came before him, and certainly a very relevant message for us. So once again, 2 points at the beginning of Vayetze, that a tzaddik represents Hod, Ziv, and Hadar. There's an aura that the tzaddik has, which itself is very impressive and captivating. There's a Ziv, there's an illuminating component, which can be very helpful and directive. There's Hadar, there's pride that we should all take in the Talmidei Chachamim, as they did in Europe, the Brisker, the Solvaker, you know, the Kovner, the Dvinsker, the way that they took pride in the Talmidei Chachamim that their communities had hosted. And then finally, you know, this idea of Efshar Shamarti Al Makom Shispalu Bo Avosai, that it's specifically when Yaakov is leaving that he feels the greatest need to identify, to daven, in the very location where his father and his grandfather had davened. He identified very much with Musar Avicha, the Torah Simecha, Minhag Avosenu Biyadenu, and that becomes for us very much like a critical part of our worldview. Okay, I want to wish everybody a really wonderful Shabbos.